definitely say that though I sometimes appreciate warm and fuzzy, in this situation, the more scientific, the better. I don't know, I have a feeling I might not stand for it.
Again, the science only takes us so far. One can ask the question, is any environment ever going to be safe enough?
And that is my next question. So since we don't know that, I agree that there is not going to be our answer. I think also the conclusion to that is zero. Is there a place, who thinks about this gray area then? Because it is gray. Just because there's not a proven link, that doesn't mean there isn't one.
But how can you prove anything doesn't have a proven link to cancer? Hormone replacement therapy now. Medications that are in our environment are a concern. I mean, information on our website about grandma's supposed to
right, be right, they don't know if so it's brain cancer or not, do we? You don't know. It's split.
Right. But I take a stance that I'm not looking into fear of the unknown. I'll learn as I go along and make decisions as we learn new data. And we'll get more and more about cancer years and years from now.
But what about right now for us in my child to say right now?
Right now, there's no evidence so far by the people who analyze to indicate that the environment of Patrick and Aaron has any safety issues compared to any other school in higher class.
But
that's what people told us.
But the state won't declare the building safe.
The state won't declare anything safe.
Okay. But they won't.
They won't.
They just say there's no cancer cluster, okay? There's no cancer cluster.
There's no.
But they're not saying it's safe.
But they never will. They never will say anything.
Okay.
That's just the way it's.
I'm sorry, John Yarrow, B-side of the world. Sorry.
How many cancers have been at this front?
Again, that's not data that we have available at the local health department. We collect infectious disease data for reportable diseases. Cancer is nationally and locally. The state reported diseases. There are national cancer registries and state registries. And we don't have access to those. So the doctors are required to report cases of cancers, and the state monitors those reports.
I guess, as a parent, I'm very confused by all this. I received a letter didn't hear another thing from Mr. Carroll about a follow-up, what was going on, what testing might be being done. I felt very much in the dark. I had to send my child to school. And even to this point, I knew that they wouldn't come up saying it was a cancer cluster. It's very hard to prove, and I knew that that wasn't going to happen. But still, I'm hearing from one person it's 18 cases of cancer. I'm hearing it's 18 plus 6 children. I have not gotten numbers to say this is what brought us to the investigation, this is what we're investigating, this is how we're going about the investigation, this is the testing that's being done. And I think as a parent, we have the right to know at least that, because I'm hearing different things from different people, and I think it's making me very uncertain, because I feel like the quietness is almost, what are they hiding? Because they haven't come out with any information to inform.
I have to caution, you have to be careful about what information, because people have a right to privacy with regards to their medical information. So any information provided,
numbers.
Well, even identifying types, the numbers, we don't report any data.
Well, then that should have been sent out in a letter. We can't give numbers. We can't, you know, this is something we can't do. But this is the testing that's being done. Or this is how the investigation is moving forward. I feel very lost and very confused, because I feel like we have not been very well informed. And I feel more confident in how this is being handled if I was informed.
And to that end, I would agree, but it would have been more of the same. We were working with, as my letter stated in August, we were working with the experts and waiting for their input. And it really came down to the hard work of the Clinton Township Education Association and our business office to track down our members and get them to fill out the survey so we can get that information in. But it was more the same, as well as you saw the very little information in the way of numbers and only the types that were listed in Raj Gona's findings. So that is why, as part of further investigation, we are going to move ahead with Piyush to say, what else could we be looking for? Outside of, and the county, and it's on the DEP website, there's 23 years of our water testing, quarterly. It doesn't show any anomalies whatsoever. We, after this discussion here, I want to add to it, but we put all our water testing up on our website, and I will add to it based on information I hear here, and as well what comes out of Piyush, and keep that kind of a running open file for everyone to go to see what else we have. The other thing we're getting is the soil testing that was done on the underground tanks that were removed, and putting that up there to show people how we complied with the process and where we got a clean bill of health. So that will all be up there.
How are you finding children?
Would you mind coming to the mic so everybody can hear? Please state your name and your address, and speak into the mic so everyone can hear what your question or concern is.
I'm Sarah, representative at 18 Melbourne Airplane. I'm just wondering how you're getting the information for the children.
We tried two avenues, through an article in the Star Ledger, as well as a survey through our school wires, putting out there. I've received only a few, and those are being forwarded to Mr. Raj Gona, as well as anecdotal information that was brought by a parent group and anything that was received from the Teachers Association.
Well, I know you referenced earlier that the state or the county does keep that. And I asked my pediatrician, and I was told that when cases come up, then they will be, either they go on a record. But does that record say, like, the child attended this school, or, like, how much detail does that tell you? Would you be able to know a child who 18 years, you know, like, graduated from the MD and moved on, and then 5 years later ends up with something, would that be tracked back to the elementary school? Because I think that we should be looking at more than just broader to see if there's something more with the school itself in terms of, you know, the general wellness of the school itself.
Sorry, I'll be one second.
Sorry, I have the answer to that question about how they analyze the data from the cancer registry. I know it falls several years behind because it takes a while to enter it. That's a question we could take to the state, though, and try to get back to you how they. I think if I understand your question, your answer, you're asking what data is captured in the national and the state cancer registry. Is that the essence of your
how
question?
They follow that.
Then how do they follow that? So how do they look for anomalies in the registry? So we'll ask the state that. I really don't know the answer.
What about the testing bodies? Are there certain certifications that the groups who test have to have? Because I know just like my house testing, it was a lot of research I do to pick a group to test.
Yeah, I think there is a list of firms that can test. Now I'm trying to remember, is that a Piyush list? Or the state list. But the state doesn't have a list of contractors that have certain qualifications. Some contractors choose to be on that list and some do not, because a lot of people don't go to get on it. But there are state certifications for certain kinds of tests.
And how do you choose the best qualified people to do that?
Well, the state, will be
the state, or who does that?
The state. This is not a county level function, it's a state function, and they would have the best answer.
Sorry.
No, the state doesn't come to public meetings. That's part of their policy. We're doing the best we can. You have a question about that. Please, if I can handle that.
It's always gone on state level, no matter. Or is that
this kind of inquiry? This kind of inquiry, a local health department such as ours would not have the budget to support some of cancer medicine or cancer epidemiologists. We do the infectious disease. We do the clinical disease reporting aspect of it. We work with the local physicians. It makes sense for us to give you the lead agencies and those types of things. But this requires a specialized expertise that we couldn't, your tax dollars, get. You'd be upset if you spent locally to have that. We just don't have that many of this kind of investigation to support the staff that we do.
Can I just ask form of clarification?
Absolutely.
The soil testing that you're speaking about?
Yes.
Is it specific to the tank removal, or is it really specific to the investigation?
To the tank removal.
Okay.
It's part of the
so
process
with
DEP.
It's not like a big soil test that looks for all kinds of things. It's specific to what the tank.
Correct.
But are you saying that you will be doing further soil testing?
If Pioche recommends that, yes, we will be.
And I do appreciate this forum.
Thank you.
Any other questions at this point in time for the board or for our two ladies here?
I don't think it's been answered. I thought you said that you're doing air testing, correct? You said you're doing air testing?
If it's ordered, usually Pioche will come.
No, air testing hasn't been ordered yet.
No, it has not.
Okay.
We can come back to this on the second public comment. But are we asking these two?
No, I wouldn't ask you to stay.
You can email us questions
right. If
they come up, and we'll take care of that one that we've identified. I will provide an update. We're having a conference call this week with the state, and I don't know if they'll have information about the childhood cancers and they're inquiring into that. But certainly, if we're providing information, we'll pass it on as soon as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Bowen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, both of you, for coming. We're at the point in our meeting where we go on to committee reports. The first committee is Facilities and Finance. If you would, please.
Pretty busy month. Let me go through all the items. First item, Vaught House. Things were looking good for a while. We were supposed to be on the planning board agenda. I understand from Pat that we are no longer on the agenda, so we have no progress to report today on the subdivision of the Vaught House property. Item two, refinancing. If you look in your packet, item 40 is a resolution asking for authorization to make various applications for refinancing of a substantial amount of our debt. Interest rates have changed in our favor, and our bond council indicates that we can save considerable money by refinancing. So get a chance, please read item 40. Pay to participate. We had a lot of discussion about pay to participate. I guess the bottom line is, from an administrative point of view, it's proven to be very difficult this year. If I understand it correctly, the prime issue is because we put it on the second question, we have no flexibility. If we come up short, $5 on a particular club, we can't go to the budget, even if we needed a minimal amount of money. So I think next year we might want to keep that in mind. I think the pay to participate makes sense. Putting on the second question in retrospect is causing us a lot of difficulty. If we end up toward the end of the season and we're short cash, we'll have a big problem. I don't know what we would do. We'd have to go to parents for more money. I don't know how we would fund that. But we're not allowed by law to dip into the budget, even for a dollar. So it puts us in a very inflexible position. So next year we should keep that in mind at budget season. I think we should still strive to make it parent-funded, but we need a little more flexibility in how we manage that. Pat, I think, covered the underground storage tank removal status. The last item that we discussed at length was solar energy. We had two representatives at our meeting, including an architect and our bond counsel, both of whom have a lot of experience in this area. So the school is discussing at this point the possibility of having solar panels installed on one or more schools, obviously for the purpose of generating electric. We have two fundamental approaches that we can take if we choose to do this. We can have the equipment designed, and we can bid it out and have it built ourselves, in which case we become the owners of this equipment. It sits in our schools. We're responsible for its maintenance, running it, etc. The other option is something called a PPA, Power Purchase Agreement, where we can basically hire a company to come in. They own the equipment. They'll put all the equipment on the roof. They own it. They maintain it. And we sign a contract for a number of years where they basically give us a discounted rate on electricity. From a purely financial point of view, as you can imagine, you'll do better if you build the equipment, if you have the equipment put in yourself and own it. However, with that increased financial return comes increased risk. You own the equipment, you take all the responsibility for it. And a lot of the financials are based on market conditions that may change. A prime source of funds if we put solar panels in is something called an SREC, a solar renewable energy credit, which essentially amounts to the state paying utilities to get some of their electric from renewable sources. And if they choose not to do it themselves, they can essentially buy these SRECs from schools like ourselves that choose to generate the electric ourselves and put the equipment in. SRECs are traded on an open market, so there's no guarantee what they'll be worth. As of today, if I read correctly, they're trading for about $693 for 1,000 kilowatt hours, but that number can change. And it will likely go down over time as solar energy comes online. So if we choose to do this, the board will have to make a decision which of these approaches it wants to make. There is a letter in your packet from the architect giving us a quote to do a study to determine how much power we could produce, what the financials would look like, et cetera, a complete study, basically feasibility and financial. But nonetheless, the board at some point, if it chooses to go forward, will have to make a choice here on which of these approaches it wants to take, if either.
So if we own it, can we generate enough to run a school or all the schools?
No. The estimates we got, I think, said we might get it generate about 40% of our needs.
For all the schools?
Well, on a per-school basis. Oh. We're not looking at Patrick McGarren at all because it's the oldest building. The roof is older. It probably wouldn't pay. We're looking at three of the four buildings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the equipment goes on the roof. Once you put it on the roof, if you have to replace the roof, that's a real problem. So you don't want to put it on an old building. In fact, in many of these cases, we would be required to either replace the roof or get some kind of an extended warranty before anybody would put the equipment. So we've only looked at the three newer buildings. For the Clinton Township Middle School, I believe the estimate was about 40% of our electric could be saved. If you do the math out, without the SRECs, you would never pay for the equipment just based on savings. The SRECs make this happen. Mm-hmm. If the government weren't subsidizing this, it wouldn't be profitable, which is, of course, why they're doing it.
There's no guarantee of that.
There's no guarantee. Of course, there's no guarantee of anything. You don't know what stock prices will do, but you tend to look at history. Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing here. You can look at trends. You can look at what they've traded for the last few years, and you can look at a trend line. The bond counsel and our architect, I think, both concluded that probably we can count on that market staying there long enough for this to be feasible financially.
So how long would the payback be?
I don't know what they were talking. And, they don't really do it in terms of payback period. If you do the PPA, for example, you're just getting a reduced rate of electric. So you don't own the equipment at all. If we're paying 10 cents a kilowatt hour, maybe you'll get 6 cents a kilowatt hour from them, and then they put the equipment on. So it's hard mm-hmm. to say.
Any questions for Mark on any of those items? The Void House refinancing, pay to participate, the removal of the tanks, and solar energy.
Okay, with that, we have some items to move. Again, item 40 refers to the refinancing of the bonds. We have items 34 through 52. 34 through 44 are in the original agenda. Items 45 through 52 are in the addendum, as well as a modified version of 39. Correct? Right.
When we open up for discussion, I'll add some clarity.
Okay. So are you making a motion?
I'll make the motion now to move those items.
Do we have a second to that motion? Question second. Second by
Debbie.
I'm sorry, Debbie. Kevin, go ahead.
On 44, the billing to the newer public school
yes.
for the education students, can you just explain what that is?
Sure. Last year, some students who were staying in temporary housing here, whose permanent housing was Newark, attended our school district. We kept good records. Upon contacting Newark, they could not have been more cooperative, calling off hours, being responsive. Only problem has been they're not cashing, they're not sending the money.
Okay.
So the auditor was in this week and said, well, at least memorialize it.
Okay. And the kids were here for roughly a month?
How long?
Correct, 28 days.
Yes.
Okay, that's all.
28 school days is actually more than a month, if you think about it, about 5 weeks. I'd like to add a little clarity on the pay to participate. It changed a little bit because the decision was made to go with one coach for basketball, and then the coaches with one coach for boys and one coach for girls, rather than an A coach and a B coach. And then to change it further, among themselves, the coaches decided that they would be better aligned switching who did boys, who did girls. Now, one of those coaches qualifies for a higher stipend. So, well, you can't go out with a higher stipend than what went in on the original agenda. So that fellow voluntarily went down to the lower of the two stipends. So it was really all good.
Related to that, can we define what is the process for deciding who coaches these teams? Do we have a process? Do we have multiple applicants applying?
Usually not, Mark. A lot of times it's on past practice, but it really is the principal of that school that makes that final decision.
Okay. I guess my concern was, we discussed this earlier, primarily at the middle school, you know, where sports start to become pretty serious and the kids take them competitively. You know, how do we make sure that we actually have coaches who know what they're doing? I mean, to coach fourth graders is one thing. When you're coaching an eighth grade basketball team or soccer team, kids have certain expectations. They're playing in travel leagues outside, so they're used to getting quality coaching. I was always wondering, how do we find people who have the skills and the knowledge to do this, or do we not? I mean, how does this really work?
Usually with in-house, you are limited to those who have a background in the almost always some kind of collegiate experience with a sport, maybe not that sport, as well as coaching experience in another sport, and they bring that over. Given our limited size, unlike a high school where you would be able to attract somebody who could do it at almost a university level.
We can't do that.
So I think one of the things in looking at the administration looks at evaluation of the overall program, the children and how they participated, and I'm sure part of it is the overall achievement, the record of the team.
So who does it? Does the principal do that?
Correct. In concert with the coaches and given who is applied for that year.
And also
the athletic director is
the athletic coordinator
person
that we have.
Okay.
Another question on 46. The contract with Morris Union Jointure?
Yes.
For the ABA training?
Yes, for the districts in service?
Yeah.
Yes.
How's that working as far as the TAs that go to the four times I see spread out throughout the year? Is it for all the TAs or is it for a portion of the TAs each time? Do they go once each one a year? Do they each go to, do they go four times a year?
That's going to be people coming in during our time and training our staff, so we'll try to get as many as possible. Even if they don't specifically have a need for ABA, we want everyone to have experience with it because people have been moved, so we want to make sure people are cross-trained.
So are we trying to train all the TAs in ABA?
Yes.
Or just
and that's why, whenever possible, we try to bring somebody in. Because it's more cost effective. We don't have to pay travel costs, we don't lose time, and this is during a half day.
I have a question on item 52, the purchase of a 2011 Ford pickup truck. Can you explain what's precipitating the need for the purchase of a new vehicle?
It's actually twofold. One is that our prior electrician more or less stayed here in this building, which was a little bit of a bone of contention, okay? We really need our electrician to be a traveling electrician. So this fellow came here, stayed here all day. The new fellow, in a model that Kevin and I think is much more appropriate, is going around to all the buildings and fulfilling all our electrical needs, okay?
Hey, Pat, can you speak into the microphone? I can't hear anything.
I'm sorry. Prior... Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. Prior electrician tend to stay in one site, so that's number one. Number two, CAS model has been that for almost all tasks, two maintenance fellows worked on a project together, and Clayton Moore, the new assistant supervisor of buildings and grounds, feels that we weren't being as efficient as we could be, and that we needed, it would be like hiring a secretary without a typewriter, that these fellows need to come to work and be able to get around by themselves to do their jobs all day. They'll call in another maintenance guy when they need another set of hands, but our staff is working much more independently of each other and therefore needs a vehicle to get around.
I guess my question then is, does it have to be new?
Yeah, that was my question.
I mean, this is at a cost of over $20,000.
We did entertain used, but when it came down to it, this is about $10,000 cheaper than the other trucks that we could find out there. Someone put in an order. Was it the state? Some entity put in an order for X number of F-250s, which I've just learned all about. And now they have to get rid of them because the order didn't go through. So we couldn't buy used, of a decent quality used, for much cheaper than we're getting brand new. It will give us a longevity.
I gotta ask, like, why do we need that quality of a truck to get between four buildings?
We also intend to use it for plowing. Although this price does not include the plow, it includes an $85 upgrade so that we could add a plow. So the thought is that we wouldn't incur the overtime, bring them in during the day, and we can have three people plowing.
What does the savings look like for bringing the plowing in-house?
Well, we currently run two trucks to do that. So if they really think about it, we add one more truck to what we have to do. And this truck is at a size where it can cut in closer to the building as well, which will save time for the gentlemen who do a lot of it by hand. So we do believe that there will be a savings overall for the district instead of, as it is, paying overtime for a lot of this to be done by hand.
I hear you, but over $20,000, it does feel excessive.
I don't think you can buy a pickup truck for under $20,000. Is this a Ford? I mean, we're not talking about a Maserati. Where can you buy a pickup for under $20,000?
What are the main uses for this truck?
Yeah. It's going to be a work vehicle during the day.
Is he plowing with it?
And we will be plowing with it when snow comes, yes.
He just bought him.
Only when snow comes.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
On FF049, the distance learning equipment with the supplanted IDA fund, what do we use that for?
What we're doing is, as you can see there, we're working on our, well, the overall distance learning is going to be several fold, not only from school to school here, but school to school in the county, the state, and so on. We're also trying to connect better with homes and extended families. There's been a lot of talk in the 21st century learning where not only do you connect to other countries, but you really connect to the extended family. So this acquisition is going to help the speed, and I actually have Mr. Jason Weber here. If I'm missing anything, Jason, please let me know. But really going to help the speed of our processing on site so we don't slow down our current bandwidth or our ability to connect. I'm sure you've used Skype or anything like that. When you have a bad connection, it goes horribly wrong for both sides.
So this server is dedicated to distance learning equipment?
Correct, but I do believe there will be space for it to help out other areas.
That's $9,800 for one server?
One money.
Jason?
Yeah, that's fair. It's the hardware itself is approximately $8,000. On top of that, there's the service support, so it has maximum uptime. We're talking about distance learning. It would be put to use right away, both within the school district or online web spaces within the classrooms. It's a private intranet that students can access. We started piloting this last year. We're kind of a victim of our own success. We've got well over like 50 teachers who are setting up these wikis. Some of them have thousands of student comments and participation in there. going forward, then it also becomes the residence for teacher universities, parent universities. As Kevin said, links to the outside, school to school, and even to their services where you can link to schools and institutions outside the country. So it serves an immediate purpose. We put it in, we turn it on day one, and it alleviates some traffic. Right now we're running all those classic web spaces on our mail server. We've got a lot of use of those mail servers, and it bogs down this day. So students have a lot of friction. You know, they work in the computer lab. You have 30 students accessing this web. In one lab, you have 30 students, and that can be replicated through all the labs, all the different classrooms. So there's some frustration. We want to keep that moving. So we get this in here now, and you know, then we roll all the parent information, all the teacher information on there. In the short term, it's the wiki spaces. Those are collaborative web spaces. In the longer term, there's some tools out there that are actually open source that are free. You made Moodle tools where you can actually put an online classroom on there and have assessments, collect data through there. And you know, what you wind up doing is it really gives you there's a lot of value there too, because it changes the dynamic. So now instead of teachers spending the bulk of their time presenting content in the classroom, you now have a place to say, well, the content's here. We're going to spend all our time remediating in the class, analyzing the class, doing assessments in the class, and so you know you're flip-flopping homework and classwork so that you get more value in the classroom.
Okay.
The whole concept of how you describe the use of it, I agree with. I just been questioning
the price.
Yeah, the price, the $98.11,
because it's an Apple, right?
Actually, hardware for hardware, you know, it's Apple's oranges. The hardware alone does line up with PC hardware. It fits in your infrastructure. One of the big advantages of the Apple hardware is you pay the Apple tax.
Right.
But remember, there's three of us serving 1,700 users, just the students, 200 some odd staff members. Yeah, and a big chunk of that's
the
support as well.
We talked once about actually moving to PCs. I guess we have decided to stick with Apple infrastructure.
One of the discussions, and it would actually come up again under supportive environment as technology, is one of the pieces that came up during the strategic plan is what is the investment overall for Apple compared to PC?
Right.
Okay. Mark, how much are we saving with the refinance?
I think it was $1 million.
It's going to depend on.
Depends
on the timing.
Right. As of right now, I think it was $980,000 over the life of the.
But that's maximum.
Right.
I mean, maybe in the end it'll be $700,000.
Right. Depends on what interest rates do between now and when we pull the trigger.
Over what period of time?
About 20 years, wasn't it?
Yeah,
about 20 years.
The longest bond was 20 years.
Yeah.
Good.